This evening we'll be looking at a few verses from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. There are a lot of things that make people happy and cause them to rejoice. And we can think of a number of things that we ourselves personally find joy in. The Apostle Paul names something here in verse 24. Seems a little strange. And yet when we think about what he was doing and why he suffered, we understand clearly the apostle's joy and privilege of what he speaks of here. So at verse 24 he says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." So here is the apostle, who we know that was so diligent, so fervent in his proclamation of the gospel, his willingness to go far and wide. We know the travels of Paul. If you ever look back in your maps at the end of your Bible and you see the journeys or missionary journeys of the apostle Paul, you can see all the different places that he would go to. And Paul did that because souls mattered to him. People mattered to him. And so he traveled far and wide. And when he went to those places, he would often encounter opposition, whether it was the Jews who heard him, but they rejected the idea of the Christ. And so they would blaspheme, sometimes persecute. Or at times it was the Gentiles that didn't believe, like those who made a living from the production of idols and so forth. And so he suffered many terrible things, but he did that and, as we see here, was glad to do it because he was able to actually follow in the footsteps of Jesus, suffering for the sake of the salvation of others. Jesus, of course, laid down his life to make possible forgiveness of sins. Now, Paul walks in the footsteps of his Savior, willing to suffer, willing to sacrifice whatever had to be done so that people could have the opportunity to hear the message, and then hopefully obey it. But Paul there in verse 24 was glad to suffer for them, suffer for them. And there are times in which we as God's people will make sacrifice. We may not suffer in this literal sense as Paul was dragged out of the city, stoned, or when he was beaten or imprisoned or anything like that. However, there are things that we do for others, for our brethren. We do them for people who are not yet, but we hope they one day will be our brethren. Sacrifices that are made. And sometimes when we have opportunity, there may be occasions when we can send benevolence to help brethren who are suffering, or the gospel may be going to a place where there's help needed. So we may volunteer to go, we may send funds, we may send aid in various ways, medications and so forth, as with the Guyana trip coming up later this year. So these are ways that for others we are willing to sacrifice to do. Paul certainly was willing to suffer for them. And it is, he says, for the sake of his body, which is the church. So he was glad these individuals were members of the body of Christ. So for his brethren he suffered. And initially, of course, we know the Apostle Paul went to places where the name of Christ had not yet been named. These people became his brethren. And he continued to revisit oftentimes those churches to make sure they were staying strong, staying true to the word, not being misled by the false teachers, and just walking in the light as they needed to. So he did all these things for the sake of the body of Christ. You can imagine how Paul would have really, that concept would have hit home with him so strongly because he had been a persecutor of the body of Christ. On his way to Damascus to do that very thing, the Lord had appeared to him. And when Jesus spoke those words to him, you know, "Why are you persecuting me?" He probably didn't understand at first, but then persecuting the church is persecuting the body of Jesus Christ. And then Paul became one who no longer did that sort of a thing, but he sacrificed, he suffered for the body of Christ. To him, it was the least he could do after what he had done in his own past, calling himself, by the Spirit even, the chief of sinners. And so Paul was glad to suffer. But this effort that he had put forth and the work that he was doing was a work that he was ordained to. And we remember that, Paul being called on that same road, and it was told what he needed to do. God instructed Paul that he would be an apostle to the Gentiles. He would be one who would take the name of the Lord before leaders and before unbelievers in various parts of that area of the world. And Paul did so as, what does it say here in verse 25? As a part of the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Paul speaks about something that's very important, a concept that we need to apply to our own lives as Christians. There's a sense in which we are all stewards. Now, Paul was especially, you know, as an apostle, he had a special stewardship, a special calling, but there's a broad sense in which all of us as God's people have a stewardship. We've been entrusted with the word. We know Hebrews 5 and what it tells us about the expectation that we should get to the point where we can communicate God's word to others and not just feed on the milk any longer. But think about the importance of being a good steward. That in other words, we're using what belongs to somebody else. We have something that is somebody else's. In this case, it's the precious word of God that is powerful, that is able to change lives. And what do? We're supposed to take it and, as good stewards, communicate it to others and take this life-changing message and hope-giving message to other people. We're stewards of that. And Paul certainly understood his responsibility. Woe is me, he said, if I do not preach the gospel of Christ. But he did, and the word, as a good steward, he took the word to those who had received it in Colossae. And then he, further speaking about this message, look at verse 26. This was called what? It was known as the mystery. Because it was at one time not fully understood. People didn't have a full knowledge of what God was talking about in those Old Testament times. They had an idea, and it was something that we're told in Scripture that even the angels desired to look into. It wasn't fully known until later on. And so, of course, now, during the gospel age, this good news has been unveiled. Now it's fully comprehended. It's understood. And that's the message that is getting out to all the world. It is salvation through Jesus Christ, a descendant of David. Now he has established his church. It is not an earthly kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And here is the path that leads you into it. And here is how you can remain on the path. And here's what you're to do while you are walking with the Lord on your way toward that eternal home. So many things conveyed by those during this age, and now, of course, us today, that was once a mystery. He says it had been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So now this message has gone not from being revealed just to the Jews as it started to be unfolded at the beginning, but it's for everyone. And, of course, beginning with the household of Cornelius, this word went far and wide. And it resulted in people in different parts of the world, including where the majority were Gentiles. Now they have obeyed the gospel as well and been changed. And he speaks of Christ in them, the hope of glory. It's a beautiful concept. We are in Christ as Christians, and yet Christ is also in us, inasmuch as his ways are our ways. His will lives within us. We can be an example of Christ to all the people around us. We can show people what he lived like, how he treated others, what his priorities were, what it means to submit oneself to the Father's will. We can show people by walking in the footsteps of our Savior. And that is a powerful example and influence upon the world around us. So that can be at school, your place of work. That can be among your family members, not yet believers in Christ. Wherever you go, you can be a shining light of Christ in you. And then Paul, speaking of himself and those with him, told the great importance of the work that he did. Verse 28, him we preach, doing what? warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This is a responsibility of all, not just Paul the apostle, but remember who went with him. Just folks that he selected, like Timothy, who became a young evangelist to spread the gospel. But these individuals with Paul told people some things. Among those things were words of warning. The words of warning have to do with we're all in sin, we're all guilty, and we can do nothing to remove that sin. It's up to us to turn to God and His Son, Jesus Christ, specifically, who died for us. So He's telling people this. Warning and teaching in all wisdom, that's this, in all wisdom, so that people can then, after they've learned, and of course the hope is, the idea is that you teach people, they obey, and then now you can take these people essentially and you're presenting them to God as ready, they're prepared. They have become perfect in Christ Jesus. They're lacking nothing, they are complete, sins washed away, filled with the bread and the water of life. They have what they need. They're walking in Christ. And so Paul concludes this thought. He says in verse 29, to this end I also labor. Notice this word, striving according to His working, which He works in me mightily. Paul had a choice. He could labor or he could not do so. He could do so in a half-hearted manner, or he could do so in the manner that he did, which is to strive. There is a Greek word that is often translated as strive, the word agonizomai, and it has in it the English word agonize, and it has to do with the intensity of effort that is put behind a certain task. And to strive or to agonize in order to accomplish something is to put one's whole heart and soul and all of one's effort to the point of pain even to be willing to accomplish this great work. And Paul is a great example of one who did that, just that. And notice that his striving and his labor is something that he did, but what was happening? It was his working which works in me mightily. So God through us works and accomplishes great things. Always remember that. Unless we are busy doing things, then God is not going to be as, I guess you could say, fully reaching all of the corners and the places that He could if the souls that He works through are not doing that particular work. So when people take this responsibility and they say, I'm going to be one through whom God can work and He can do so mightily because I'm going to strive to do His will, well, when we do that, then God works through us to reach this person, that person, to be a shining example, to help people in need, whatever it may be, lifting up brethren who have fallen. And that is a powerful, powerful thing to think God is using me, and He will, if we will say those wonderful words like Isaiah, here am I, send me, I'm ready to be used, and Paul certainly was as well. Think about the great work that we have to do, and let's think about how we can fill our lives each day with this great work, and see just how much of a difference it makes, and how that we can take something once unknown, and really, even today, to a lot of people, it's still a mystery in the sense that they don't know it, they don't fully understand it. But we can be the light that helps people to see the path that leads to salvation. Tonight, if you're not yet on that path, if you have not yet become a child of God, there's God's plan revealed in His Word very clearly that shows us the people in the first century and when the church was established, they had to, and Jesus even taught these things prior to His death, but belief in Him is where it all began, that He is the Son of God. People had to turn away from the practice of sin and begin to have that change of mind that resulted in a change of life forevermore on the way that is established by God. And then, of course, the idea of confessing one's faith in Jesus Christ, also taught in the New Testament, as is the command to be baptized. If we're baptized, immersed in water, our sins will be washed away. We can help you with that tonight, or we can help you come home to the Lord if you've wandered or you need to be strengthened, lifted up. If you have anything that is on your heart that you need prayers for, we'd be glad to assist you as we stand and sing.